Welcome. My name is Charlene Garrett, and this is the Accidental Mentor Podcast, where we believe that mentoring, while intentional, is oftentimes purely accidental. This is episode 6 of a 5-hour conversation that I had with my good friend, Julie. Please like, share, and subscribe so that you can know when the next episode's coming out and more people can hear about this podcast. Last episode, we talked about fear and anxiety as we were going through different aspects of Julie's life and our relationship and friendship. This episode, we're going to hear more about change and how change is a process. We also hit on practical topics like paying rent and unhealthy relationships. So listen in. Here's today's episode.
Wow, Julie, you're really high.
Like, super high.
Very reinforced.
Way up here. Can't pull you up, though.
Oh, my gosh. That's good. One of the other things I was thinking about in our 10 years, our first 10 years, was you mentioned how interesting it was that your family moved to Florida in the same part of Florida that I was originally from, which also brought a connection even after I had moved off to Africa, which I just think is a testimony to God. Like, mm-hmm. what a miraculous opportunity, both because I knew I had an awareness when I would talk to you of the area that you're talking about, of Florida.
Right.
And so both when you were in Crestview and then in Pensacola later, like, I knew a little bit about things. So we would have something to talk about, you know, it wasn't like this random place. And I was able to stop by. I think I came out. I drove out to Crestview, gave you that bag that one time. But then one time, you came to my family's house for Thanksgiving.
I did. That was in 2012. That was right before I left Pensacola.
I just remember really connecting with you and us talking about kind of what was going on in life. But I just remember there was a bit of a turning point. I wouldn't have connected that to being right after you left or right before you left the area. Mm-hmm. I also remember, and I don't know if it was that same time, coming over to your apartment. I remember there being a moment where the Lord had me look at you and just say, this isn't who you are. This is who you are. And you're like, yeah, that's right. And it was just this like, I'm not usually that direct. I don't remember ever being that direct with you besides that moment. That's why it stands out to me. Do you remember that?
I do remember that. So that would have been, I guess that was right. If it was like the duplex, it would have been when I was, so I remember at the beginning of this episode.
At the beginning of this
Pretty much if it was a sin, I did it. So most of my, like since my, around the age of 18, 19, I would have identified as bisexual. And at that time, I was living with my girlfriend. That would have been after. I think we might be mixing up some of the timeline. But whatever the case, the time that that happened, I was living with Olivia. And
you weren't happy. I just remember happy.
Oh, I was miserable because one thing I realized later for myself is that part of the thing that brought me into that was that I judged women as being pretty weak, judging myself. And men had been hurtful. I didn't want to get hurt anymore. So I decided I would date women and they would be nice to me. Fun fact, not true.
not always the case.
I was like, thought they would do what I said and they didn't. They didn't do what I said at all. But I was very confused and I was looking for connection. And she's one, you know, good person. She just was broken the same as me. So our brokenness came together trying to fix each other. But I remember that you're saying that to me. And it was one of the things that honestly that I tell people really helped because you never judged me. Like you never were like, oh, you're going to hell. And if you don't stop doing that, I'm not going to be your friend anymore. But you also never compromised truth. You never told me that, it's everyone gets their own choice and that's my truth. It's okay. You never did anything like that. You were very honest with me. And you said, I don't think this is who you are. And I was like, I know, but I don't know what else to do.
You're like, now what?
Right. Like, what do I do with that? Right. Because I'm always looking for someone. In that relationship, what I think is important for people to know is no more broken or sinful than the ones I had with the men.
Yeah.
At all. It's not, there's no difference there. So I was looking for what only God could fill in me and put back in people. And so I'd find someone in this particular relationship. I was super anxious, so I wasn't working. I'm on disability. And she was, you know, so she would work. So like in that apartment, I could pay for it because we live there together. Right. And so there was always this underlying, oh, you can't, if this is over, you'd have nowhere to go. At that point, my mom, because I had moved to Florida when my sister died in a car accident. And my mom and her, lived with my mom and her step, my mom and my stepdad and in Crestview. But by the time I was there, my mom had left her husband and moved to Houston. So it's like I came out here for family to be connected after trauma. And I was like, which side note, that was always interesting. It seemed to get worse when I got back in connection with the people that I grew up with, my family. When I was living alone, I had a little bit of freedom because I never actually dealt with the root issues. But she left and I was just in Florida going, okay, I've got to graduate college. I'd already messed up and transferred states, which I don't advise. If you've almost finished your degree, just take the degree and don't go do a few more years at another college. Bad life choice there. Just one example. But yeah, so I was very stranded because I didn't think I had any kind of choice in the matter. I didn't think I was a strong woman capable of making good choices. Not for a second. I thought life happened to me because I was uniquely broken, as someone wise once said. My husband and I were together in Florida right after Olivia. So I met him.
You met him after that.
Okay. He moved in when Olivia moved out. See? Same sin, different people. because I needed someone to take care of me. I only had so much money, right? And so then him and I broke up. And that's when I decided to move to Houston because I didn't have anyone attached to. And then when I went, I'd come to Houston to apply for a job. Oh, no, I just came here to visit. And I found a job where I happened to be in Houston. And
it was a sales job, wasn't it?
Oh, it was. Y'all know those people that if you go to Best Buy, I don't know if they still do this or not, and someone comes up to you and go, hey, what do you have, cable or satellite? And then they're like, you tell them, and then they tell you why that you should have something different. As DirecTV, I was like, this is why, yeah. And I thought it was going to be this great because it was marketed like, oh, you're going to have your people, and you know, it was in real stores, and you made real money if you did well. However, you don't do well if you're chronically stricken with anxiety. So I took that job.
You have to go to the store and show up. And,
so much different than today's world. There's no remote anything. You had to go. And so when I got to Houston, he drove the U-Haul, all my stuff, and then took a bus all the way back to Florida. And I just knew, I was like, this isn't going to work. And God was just saying, you know, you can't do this, Julie, but I can. And so I was like, okay, Lord, I'm going to do it. It was the hardest thing I've ever done because we were together a very short time, but I just knew that he was the person. And so I was obedient to the Lord and I waited for 5 years before he said I could write him a letter. And so
we're going to get to that because I think that's
awesome in the second 10 years
story when it comes back. But we're about to jump over to the second 10 years because I'm trying to think of anything else in that first bit. I mean, one of the things that you've said to me before, since you just mentioned your sister, is, you know, we met because Lindsay, your sister, had been going to my church. Like she had come and she was going to that Bible study or that small group that she took you to. And at some point early on, you asked me, why not Lindsay? Mm-hmm. You asked me, why do you remember what I said? You just recently reminded me of this. So I didn't even remember you asking.
That's not who God told you.
Yeah.
Cause I felt, and that was one thing, like the fact that God had told you to pursue me, like not give up. That was very powerful because I was like, wait, because one, I knew God talked to you. Didn't think he talked to me, but I knew without a doubt that he talked to you.
I'm just building that pedestal, just telling you all these things, getting myself up on some mountain I'm about to fall off of, some chair.
And so, because Lindsay had been going for a while and she had a very, you know, colorful life herself.
Bubbly, sweet.
Sweet.
I really remember her. I mean, she just fun to be around too. Mm. A blondie.
Yep. That's accurate. Yep.
Yeah. I remember that. And yeah, there was no, so I think this is the point back to that again. There was no don't pursue Lindsay.
Right.
There was no statement like that. It was just, I'm praying. And I felt like, oh, this, I mean, I've mentored a lot of people in my life. I have connected with a lot of people in different ways. And not always has it been, I feel like the Lord like points somebody out. Sometimes it just really is, oh, okay. I mean, I have a few instances and I've gotten better at over the years asking better questions, you know, and thinking about that. But this was, it was unique. It was the first time in my life that I felt really clear that this was the one that I was supposed to. Now, it's funny. I was supposed to find three. I never got to two or three.
I feel like I probably gave you enough work that you were probably pretty filled up. And there were some other people mentored to an extent, but
there were.
I took up a lot of your mentor capacity, probably.
Do you remember Randy? Did you ever meet Randy?
That sounds really familiar.
I don't remember. It had to have been roughly the same time frame, but my connection to her was through a sister church that we worked with that was a punk church. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember.
No, you never took me to punk church. I could have fit in there.
Deliverance Bible Church. They're in Hearst, I think. And yeah, it was an interesting, it was a very different relationship, but it was also another experience in that season of my life to help me learn more about, honestly, mental health challenges, mm-hmm. medication, all sorts of things that I had no understanding of. So I was seeking, like I'm a learner. I want to learn. And so I remember reading a lot and asking a lot of questions and praying a whole lot. But I've talked to her periodically over the years, and there was a chunk of time and then, you know, it's been a little more sparse, but yeah, there were a few different people, by the way, never got through 5B with any of them. So you weren't unique in that. So
Sorry, 5B.
We never got all the way through with anybody on that one. Oh my goodness. So here's the beauty about the second 10 years that I remember. So, you know, I remember, like, we talked about you being in Houston and calling and me sending the pizza. And I remember that, you know, waking up in the middle of the night with God saying that to me, that I just needed to remind you who you were and really repenting. And the reason why that is significant to me is because it's been a cornerstone of any other relationship that I've had is to remember that, because I since then have wanted to be way more corrective many more times. And it's still the same best message I've ever heard. I'm like, okay, God, remember what's my job? Only do your job. Not everybody else's. It's not my job to do God's job. But when you called me after you were living with Kendra, if you'd been there for a little bit, you called and we were talking and I came to visit the Dallas-Fort Worth area for some reason. I would come back periodically and I was coming to visit and you were really excited because you were going to take me out to dinner. Do you remember this?
I was going to take you out to dinner, but then I didn't.
You didn't. What happened?
I cooked for you.
Pick it up.
I cooked a real meal, first of all.
Did.
And that was nice. And I even included your Crazy Town gluten-free stuff or whatever you needed, which is ironic now because Kendra's gluten-free. At the time, she wasn't. But I remember getting your special noodles and everything.
You made them.
Did I make the zoodles?
You made the zoodles. You couldn't buy zoodles back then.
That's right. I made the zoodles and then I bought some kind of carb-free bread or something. I don't remember.
Probably something.
Oodies
or something. Gluten-free. They probably only had one kind at the time.
Yeah.
But I remember that you were going to take me out to eat. And right before I came, you were super sad because you realized you didn't have enough money.
Yeah.
To take me out to eat. And I don't know if you offered or if it was Kendra's idea or how you got the idea to make me dinner, but it was 10 times better than taking me out. But it was the first meal that we had ever had together, besides maybe being at church, that I hadn't paid for.
Yep.
And that... In 10 years.
10 years. I would like to say we didn't go out that often.
That's true. That's true.
Mentees got way more stuff than I did. That's all I'm saying. I got a house with you. I didn't get no room in no house. No. But yes, I was so proud of that. And that was even, was I even working yet? I don't even know if I had started yet. I think I might, if that was before I started or not. But.
I think, I think you were nannying for Kendra.
Yeah, just, well, I didn't really
I think you were just, well, you were helping her out. Helping her out. Yes. But I don't think that you had started working.
I still remember waking up and hearing in my spirit, just feeling this sense that the Lord was saying, it wasn't my job to correct Julie, but it was my job to remind her of who she was. That's just one of many times that I've heard something so great or so out of left field that I knew it wasn't from me. And it's really impacted how I lead and how I mentor. I'm curious, have you ever had a time when you heard something, and when I say heard, I mean thought something, that was just so out of left field, something that you know that you didn't make up? And how has that impacted you? I want to hear about it. Let's talk about it. You can put those comments here on YouTube, or you can contact me on social media. All of my contact information is in the show notes. Like, share, subscribe, review, so more people can hear about this podcast. In the next episode, we're going to talk about Julie's experience with smoking and also a little bit more about shame and really get into a continuation of our journey in this 20 years that we were mentoring together. Remember, he who began a good work in you will carry it out to completion. My name is Charlene Garrett, and this is The Accidental Mentor.